Welcome to the Focus Church podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that it inspires you and gives you a fresh perspective. Enjoy the sermon.
If you brought a copy of God's Word with you today, we'll be in the book of Ecclesiastes. There are 66 books in the Bible. There are 66 books, and five of them are known as the wisdom books. Those five are Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Songs. In our canonized version of scriptures, the Protestant canonized version of the scriptures, those are the five books that we would label as wisdom books: Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Songs. Now, three of those five wisdom books were written by a man named Solomon. He wrote Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. So, while many books in the Old Testament point to a historical view of God's relationship between Israel and God and their experiences, the wisdom books provide us more insight into emotions, faith, and sometimes the temperament of the people of God. And a lot of times we can really look to these wisdom books to help us face issues that we are still facing today. And I love the book of Ecclesiastes because its writer wrote with grace and wisdom. His name is Solomon. Turn to your neighbor and say, "It's Solomon." Now, Solomon is the wisest man to ever live, and Solomon is full of wisdom, and he knows a little bit about wisdom. And so when we read in Ecclesiastes 9 what we are about to read, our attention must be turned to understand that a wise man is writing these words. You know, if somebody tells me, you know, so-and-so can cook, you know, well, it depends on who's telling me they can cook. Like, if I told you somebody could cook, you'd be like, "Dude, you were born in Virginia." You know, what, you know, it's like, but there was a chef sitting on the front row at our East location earlier today. And if he says, "Hey, that guy can cook, that girl can cook," well, then your ears perk up. Why? Because he sets a different standard than maybe I set, you know. My friend Andrew Anderson, are you here today? I don't know if he's here or not. He was on the front row. He's right there. My friend Andrew Anderson, he's strong. Now, when I say strong, I'm talking about like real strong. He's in the 1,000-pound club. His bench press, deadlift, and back squat are over 1,000 pounds of cumulative weight. That's very strong. He's got thighs like tree trunks, you know? We call him your thinus, you know, your thinus at the gym. He's got his picture on the wall at the gym for being in the 1,000-pound club. Now, if I told you, "Hey, that dude's strong," you'd be like, "Eh, what's the standard I'm giving you?" You know what I'm saying? You're like, "Eh." But if Andrew says, "Hey, that guy, he's strong," you start to realize Andrew's standard of strength is greater than my standard of strength. Does this make sense? So when Solomon says, "This person surprised me with their wisdom," you have to lean in a little bit, because Solomon's standard for wisdom is higher than most.
Right.
So this is what it says in Ecclesiastes 9. It says, "I also saw under the sun," verse 13, "I also saw under the sun this example of wisdom that greatly impressed me." We're impressing the wisest man to ever live with wisdom in this passage of scripture. So then you lean in a little bit more, like, what did this person do that impressed the wisest man to ever live? There was once a small city. Shout out to Lewisburg. Come on, somebody. Shout out to all my people down there. There was once a small city with only a few people in it, and a powerful king came against it, surrounded it, and built a huge siege works against it. Now there lived in that city a man, poor but wise. Whoo! I feel that today. I'm poor, as long as I got wisdom. Oh, some of you came in here, you don't got riches or wealth, but you got wisdom. There lived in that city a man poor but wise, and he saved the city by his wisdom. But nobody remembered that poor man. The hidden hero of this week is a man who no one remembered, whose name we don't even have, who saved an entire city by his wisdom, yet we don't even know what his name is. So I said, verse 16, Solomon speaking, wisdom is better than strength, but the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are no longer heeded. Let's pray. Father, if there's anything we need today, it's wisdom. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. So we ask that the Spirit of wisdom infiltrate our hearts at all of our locations. We ask that the complicated, nuanced scenarios that are rolling around in our mind, the past struggles, the shame, the guilt, the complexities of our relationships, the complexities of our decisions, I pray that wisdom would come into the room today, and that we would not only see clearly, but that we would save a city, not by our strength, not by our power, but by your Spirit and the wisdom you give us. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In 1860, the Supreme Court ruled unanimously 8-0 that if a public high school didn't teach the Bible, they would not get government funding. If they didn't teach the Bible, they would not get government funding. Now, 100 years later, we removed the Word of God from schools. We removed prayer from schools. And now, 60 years later, we cannot expect unwise decisions to produce wise consequences. I mean, we've been alienated from the life of God. We've taken our kids from the knowledge of the Bible and understanding of wisdom, and it's been turned over to a retrograde mind as a nation. And this isn't going to be political. I'm just showing you what can happen when you lack one thing, and that is the fear of the Lord. And it doesn't just happen to nations. It doesn't just happen to governments. It doesn't just happen to school systems or countries. It happens to us as well. In 1860, they said, if you don't teach the Bible, we won't give you money. And now the complete opposite is true in our country. What have we lost? We've only lost one thing, and that is the fear of the Lord. Ain't nobody saying amen today. Beyond politics, but in our own lives, we tend to drift away from the fear of the Lord. And when you lose the fear of the Lord, something goes with it. Do you know what goes with it? Wisdom. How do I know this? The Bible says in Psalm 11:10 that the fear of the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom. And all who obey his commandments will grow in wisdom. Praise him forever. So what is missing is not anything other than the fear of the Lord, and what comes with the fear of the Lord is wisdom. I'm interested in pastoring a wise church. I'm interested in making wisdom a part of your spiritual growth diet. What would it be if we were just a cool church, but not a wise church? Like, can we get past the skinny jeans, the haze machines, and the big screens? Can we get to wisdom? Can we get to knowledge and understanding? Like, what if we were more wise as husbands? Come on, somebody. What if we were more wise as wives? What if instead of people saying, what's that church like? And they would say, oh, it's great worship, great preaching. What if they said, everyone that comes out of there is wise beyond their years? Well, everyone that leaves that church, they tend to be wise. So we have to go through four things today. These are four objectives in light of the passage that we read there out of Ecclesiastes chapter 9. We have to answer, what is wisdom? What is wisdom? How to respond wisely to different situations. We have to ask ourselves, how do I get wisdom? And then we also have to ask ourselves, where do I find more wisdom? And those are my four objectives today. If you're a note taker, I'm going to do my very best to systematically go through those four questions. And the first question is, what is wisdom? And here's a very simple example, a very simple definition, and that is, wisdom is applying God's truth to daily life decisions. Wisdom is applying God's truth to daily life decisions. This is how I wrote it in my notes. Better decisions produce fewer regrets. Come on, somebody with a tattoo. No regrets. Should have spell checked that beforehand. Should have married her before I put her name on my chest, you know. Better decisions produce fewer regrets. You know this because you've made a few bad decisions in your life. And you live with some of the consequences of a few of those bad decisions, as do I. But the better decisions we make, the fewer regrets we'll have. You've also made some good decisions in your life, and you are now living with the consequences, which are fewer regrets. So you are not the only person impacted by your decisions, and you're also not the only person impacted by your regrets. We have to know that we are not the only people who are impacted by the decisions we make today. Oh, your decisions determine the fingerprints of someone else's future. You're here today, regardless of your background or history or current situation, because someone else has decided. They decided to raise you the way that they did. They decided to teach you the things that they did. And then you have taken those decisions and now have made some decisions on your own. And that's what brings us to today. We are the sum total of the decisions that we've made. Some of you have decided to follow Jesus. Others of you are deciding to follow Jesus. Some of you decided today that you would go to church. Others of you may be joining online, decided that you would watch online. But what I know is that your personal decisions have generational implications. What if George Washington, when they approached him to become the president of the United States, what if he said, you know what? I want to be a king instead. Let's make this a monarchy and not a democracy. We would be living in a different land than we are living in right now. What if Dr. King, when he was up north, just decided to stay up north and not fight down south? We wouldn't be worshiping like we're worshiping right now. Because his decisions have generational implications. When I drive past our new building here at our East location on 7000 Destiny Drive, I don't think about what needs to happen tomorrow in order for that building to be built. I think about the church building that my grandchildren are going to encounter God in because of the decisions that we are making as a church right now. Life would be different, some of you might say, if my dad would have not drank so much, or we wouldn't have moved so much, or if my mom wouldn't have left so abruptly. And here's the truth about our decisions. We never know what hangs in the balance of the decisions that we make. We said this last week, but the most significant thing you may do might not be something you do, but someone you raise. We got to make good decisions. Your wise decisions determine the direction and the quality of your life. And we are where we are because of the decisions that we have made. And we can choose to blame the past, or we can choose to decide today that we are not going to be victims of our past. I know this seems harsh for some of you, maybe that are in the middle of a situation where you are the victim, and it's hard for you to wake up every day and decide. But we have seen many people who should have never made it, should have never accomplished anything. They should have been just like their father, just like their mother, just like their grandfather. They should have never made it, but they decided. And when they decided, they acted. Now you have two decisions whenever something comes against you. There is a wise response or a sudden reaction. I'm helping some marriages today. This ain't even a marriage series. It's about a guy whose name we didn't even know, but he saved a city through his wisdom. He had a wise response instead of a sudden reaction. You've been there before. You're hungry. You haven't had a nap. And somebody asked you to do something you didn't want to do. And all of a sudden, instead of responding, you react. You say something out of reaction instead of response. Oh, is it just me? Or do I have to delete some emails that I've sent before? Is it just me, or have I used emojis that I shouldn't be using? Is it just me, or have I said some things to the people who are closest to me that if it got out, it would be embarrassing because I reacted suddenly instead of responded wisely? Have you ever been in traffic before and reacted suddenly instead of responded wisely? Have you ever been to the DMV before and reacted suddenly instead of responded wisely? Oh, man, my patience was tested this week. My daughter finally, ready to get her driver's license. She has been having her permit for 6 months, and that was the law, 6 months. They changed it during the global crisis of 2020. And so we were told that on, what month are we in, April? On April 9th, we could go to the DMV. Now, keep in mind, there are no appointments at the DMV within a 10-mile radius of anywhere where any of you live. So what do I have to do? I drove all the way up to Roanoke Rapids. Come on, somebody. It gets better. I woke up that morning. We were excited. We have already purchased her first car. We were so excited. I paid someone in our church who details car to detail her car inside and out so that it smelled new, even though we all know it's got 200,000 miles on it. I ain't giving her a new car. I ain't that crazy. So drive up to Roanoke Rapids, about an hour and a half drive. We're enjoying ourselves. We're excited. We got every document. We've got every electric bill we've ever paid. We've got coloring books from her kindergarten class to prove that she went to kindergarten. I mean, we got every proof that we live in this great nation and that we contribute our taxes. We walk in and everything starts going smooth. I mean, we didn't even sit down. We punched in the number and they called our number immediately. I'm like, the Lord is surely in this place. We got walked right in. And you've never walked right into the DMV. You got to drive far. You got to drive like the Oregon Trail. You have to go far to be able to get right into the DMV and God, all the things. She's like, do you have insurance? I got insurance. You have, yes, I need your license. Okay, I need your permit. Yes, yes, yes. And she said, oh, you didn't know? The governor just changed the law back to pre-pandemic laws. And instead of April 9th, she has to wait until June 9th or July 9th. I can't remember which one. Didn't matter at that time. I have to make a decision. With my firstborn child who's been dreaming of driving this car home free and clear without having to. I've been dreaming of having her take her brother and sister to school. Come on, somebody. And I have to, in that moment, make a decision. Should I react suddenly or do I respond wisely? The lady behind the counter didn't make the law. The lady behind the counter didn't change the law. The lady behind the counter isn't in charge of the appointment process. That should probably notify you. When you make the appointment, things have changed. And she said, don't you watch the news? That's what the lady told me. I was like, nope. I live under a rock. And sure enough, I'm like with my phone Googling it because I just... Before I attack, you know, like before every demon that lives in the depths of my soul comes out, I gotta confirm that this is true or not. And so I'm like, DMV law change 2024, Google search it, boom, first thing. You know, governor changed law back to pre-COVID requirements, which is now 9 months instead of 6 months. Needless to say, it was a long, long drive home. And I kept my cool because here's what I've learned. I rarely have to apologize for a response, but I almost always have to apologize for a reaction. Any husbands relate? You've apologized not because you responded wisely, it's because you reacted suddenly. I rarely have to apologize for a calculated response. Oh, if I've written it down and I've read over it and over it and over it and I've sent it to a few people and they've edited it and sent it back, I rarely have to retract any of the thoughts that I have responded with wisely. But boy, if you catch me on the wrong day at the wrong time and all of a sudden my blood is boiling, I'll probably have to apologize to you in 10 minutes. Why? Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise adorns knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. Gushes folly. Here's what I know about reactions. Reactions create regret. And hands the pen to the enemy and asks them to write the next chapter in your story. Deciding to respond wisely brings about redemption, but reacting suddenly brings about regret. The only difference between a reaction and a response, do you know what it is? Time. The time in between the offense and your response, the longer that time, the better you respond. Some of you are just too quick to speak, and it's very slow to listen. But the Bible says to be slow to speak and quick to listen. So if you pause long enough, it builds margin in your response where wisdom can take over. Wisdom is very patient. Wisdom is never in a rush. These are five questions to help determine whether or not if a decision is wise, and this should help you today. The first question is, will I enjoy this? If I do this, whatever I'm about to do or whatever I'm thinking about doing, will I enjoy this? Good question to ask. It helps filter out some of the things that might not bring you joy. The second question you need to ask is, will this hurt me? If it's going to hurt you, you probably shouldn't do it. Some of you are doing things habitually. You're addicted to substances that are hurting you, and you're not aware, but it's not wise for you to go to that place where you end up drinking yourself to where you cannot remember. Will I enjoy this? Will this hurt me? Will this hurt someone else? It's a good question to ask. Is this a wise decision? Well, if it hurts someone else, it's probably not a wise decision. The next question is, will anyone find out? Probably not wise if you have to be nervous about other people finding out. And the last question is, what's my out if someone finds out? So if I respond to that by hiding or lying or scaring or shoving things under the rug, I'm probably not making a wise decision. Will I enjoy this? Will this hurt me? Will this hurt someone else? Will anyone find out? And what is my out if someone finds out? Now let's move to how to get wisdom. Let's move to how to get wisdom. How do you get wisdom? Well, Proverbs 4:7 is very clear how to get wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. The beginning of wisdom is this: you have to get, before you can have it, you got to get it. Yeah. Oh, some of y'all chasing the wrong thing. You're chasing the bag. I got to get that bag. I secure the bag. Secure the bag alert. It's like, no, secure the bag of wisdom. I got to get wisdom. I got to, whatever you get, you got to get insight. What'd you come here to get today? I came here to get wisdom. I came here to get wisdom. So how do I get it? Number one, I get wisdom by making it a priority. Hard to get wisdom with a video game controller in your hand. Hard to get wisdom by blasting the talk radio full of some conspiracy theory ideas. That's how I grew up. You got to get wisdom by making it a priority. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:8, prize, speaking of wisdom, prize her highly and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. Oh, wisdom is something to be positioned at a high priority in your life. When you wake up every day, don't say, I'm here to make money. I'm here to gain and get wisdom. Don't be neutral towards wisdom. Cherish her. I get wisdom by making a priority. Number two, I get wisdom by praying. James, the half-brother of Jesus, says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. How hard is it to get wisdom? It's one prayer away to God. If you lack wisdom, ask for it. Maybe you've been asking God to heal. You've been asking God to save. You've been asking God to redeem. You've been asking God to deliver. You've been asking God to restore. Maybe you need to ask God for wisdom. And in that wisdom, he'll give you the understanding that will lead you to the fruit that needs to happen in order for the miracle to take place. I pray for wisdom. I prioritize wisdom. I pray for wisdom. And then number three, I get wisdom by pursuing wisdom. I got to lean into it. I got to get knowledge. The Proverbs 2 says, if you make your ear attentive to wisdom, if you seek it like silver and search for its hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. We cannot be passive about wisdom. Wisdom won't find you. You have to find it. There are some things that God will send your way, but wisdom is not one of those things. You got to seek it out like silver. You got to go on an adventure to find it. There are things in your life that God will send to redeem and to restore. But one thing that you will not automatically gravitate towards in your life, there's one thing you won't lean towards automatically. We don't bend towards wisdom because our human nature gets in the way. Our sinful man gets in the way. And so we can't be passive. We have to find her. We have to prize her. We have to pray for her, and we have to prioritize her. So where do I find this wisdom? The first place you find it is in the Word of God. Yeah. Wisdom is found in here. Why is this book banned in so many nations? Why is this book such a threat to the school system? Why is this book one of those things that people get up in arms about its validity or its infallibility? Why? Because in it is wisdom. You got to get into the Word of God. Oh, I don't read many books. You better read one. I just color. Well, you better start coloring. Get yourself a Bible coloring book. I don't know. I just listen to it. That's fine. Listening to it is fine. But there's something about your mind and your eyes and you being locked in. And call me old school. I don't care. I cannot get FaceTimed by my mother from this thing. I can't get a Twitter notification on this paper. While I'm reading the Bible on this thing, all sorts of stuff could happen. There are no notifications except for Holy Spirit notifications when you have a physical copy of God's Word. And I will go as far as to allow the conspiracy theory in me to come. There will be a day. Well, these will be rare, hard to find. And there might be a day. I've got to be careful with what I say. There might be a day. They're always listening. Where artificial intelligence will mold the Word to be whatever it wants to be. I'm not trying to be a doomsday prepper. But you better believe I got several dozen of these stocked up in my house because I don't want my great-grandchildren thinking that the Bible is some sort of AI-generated. Okay, I went off on a little tangent, but this is what it says in Psalm 19:7. Relax, I'm not that way. The law of the Lord, speaking of the word, is perfect. It's reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. See, I'm not very complicated. I'm pretty simple-minded. I'm not the sharpest tool in the toolbox. I am not the sharpest knife in the drawer. But under the unction of the Holy Spirit, I can see things through wise eyes because I've lived and breathed and founded my life on the law of the Lord, which is perfect. It's not my words. It's the word of God. Number two, in the word of God. Number two, walking with wise teachers. Walking with wise teachers. You gotta, who you hang out with will determine your level of wisdom. Come on now, you've had those friends. You're like, these people are dragging me down. The lowest common denominator is really low in this friend group. Making some dumb decisions. And what happens? It leads you to make dumb decisions. Someone asked me the other day, why do you spend so much money on your friends, on your child's education? I'm like, because one bad friend. Yes. One bad friend. Same is true for one good friend, by the way. I asked my daughter, she turned 13. I said, what's the best thing that happened to you when you were 12 years old? She said, I met my friend Caitlin. Thank God. One good friend. Yes. Change your life. One bad friend. Yes. Come on, you've been around those people. So you have to start walking not in the counsel of the wicked. It's what Psalm said. Walk in the counsel of the wicked. Or Proverbs says, don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. But it said, you have to make sure that you are walking with the wise. It says in Proverbs 13:20, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. I got to watch who I FaceTime. I FaceTime Dr. Hudson about 5 times a day. Why? Because there's just wisdom. There's wisdom and knowledge. There's understanding. I love Pastor Chris Weiss. He is an example of wisdom. And whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. Be careful who you walk with. They're my day one. Well, they're dumb. They've been loyal to me. They're loyally dumb. Don't stay with people that make you dumber. Get around people that make you wiser. If they're encouraging you to do things that lead to unwise decisions, they're encouraging you to do things that will lead to lifelong regrets. And then you have to look at it in light of eternity. Jesus is coming back. Everyone will live forever somewhere. And so we have to take Psalm 90, verse 12 into account. Teach us to number our days that we may get, look at this, a heart of wisdom. Oh, I love that. I love that you can have not just a mind of wisdom, which is what we all want. We want to be intellectually smart and knowledgeable. But when that same intellect makes its way to your heart, then I'm not just contingent on my knowledge or my understanding or my education or my accolades. Now I'm being led by wisdom of the heart. Teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Let me read that first verse that we read one more time and we'll close asking God to give us wisdom at all of our locations. It says this, now there lived in that city a man, poor but wise, and he saved the city by his wisdom. But nobody remembered that poor man. So I said, wisdom is better than strength, but the poor man's wisdom is despised and his words are no longer heeded. I declare over every decision you have to make, wisdom. I declare over every attack that has tried to put a siege work around your soul, wisdom. Over every household, in every nook and in every cranny of your home, wisdom because it's better than strength. Some of you have been trying to force your way out of situations. You've been trying to muscle your way out. And what you need is not more strength to endure. You need wisdom to overcome. You don't need more strength in your own might, not in your own power, but you need the wisdom of the ages, the secret things of God, the knowledge of God. The Bible says that when you have wisdom, you can save a city. I know it's complicated. I know you're like, you don't know me. You don't know what I have to deal with. I know this. Whoever asks for wisdom, he will give generously without reproach. So what is our prayer today? Our prayer is, in light of everything we've ever done, in light of everything we're going through right now, Lord, what's the wise thing to do? At every location this morning, would you just bow your heads and open your hands and just say, what's the wise thing to do, Lord? What's the wise thing to do? If you're next to your spouse, you can grab them by the hand and just ask them, by asking God, what's the wise thing to do? May the Lord speak to you right now at all of our locations. May the Holy Spirit come into the room at all of our locations. I know that there are college decisions and career decisions and home decisions. Do we sell? Do we buy? Do we move? Do we stay? Wisdom right now in Jesus' name. Wisdom right now. Wisdom to respond and not react in Jesus' name. Wisdom to understand the nuance. Wisdom to understand where the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding you right now. Wisdom to know whether you should stay in that toxic relationship or go in Jesus' name. Wisdom to know whether you should pursue that child who is away from the Lord right now, or you should let them wander off so that God can work on their heart. Wisdom right now. Wisdom to understand what the scriptures reveal. Wisdom to understand what the scriptures say. Wisdom to understand which way to go. There is a way that seems right, but it leads to destruction. So God, we need wisdom to know which way. Give us wisdom, Lord. May the Spirit of God and may the grace of God give you the wisdom you need. The Bible says that the prudent see danger and they respond. But the simple walk right into the trap. If anyone is making decisions that are not wise, I pray that God would give you the boldness to turn and to say, this is not the wise way. I'm hurting someone. Someone's being wounded. I'm going to regret this decision. Whatever it might be at all of our locations, I pray the Spirit of wisdom right now. God, grant us wisdom. Everyone, at the sound of my voice, would you just repeat this prayer after me? Say, Father God, I need wisdom. I surrender my daily decisions to you. Fill me up with the Spirit of wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Let's clap our hands for God's word at all of our locations. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. This ministry is made possible because of the generosity of so many people like you. To partner with us, you can click the link in our description or visit www.givetofocus.com. If you like this podcast, you can subscribe now or share it with a friend. For more inspirational content, subscribe to our YouTube channel, www.youtube.com/focuschurch. Join us next week for another incredible message.